you.
I'll start with a, with a, well, it's in many ways, it's so many things to say. You know, I sat here thinking about all the years that have gone by, and I had all my kids went here to school, so I feel like I'm back home now that I'm here in Shaker. So I think what I want to do is to start with the story that probably changed my life more than anything else that ever happened to me. And when Martin Luther King was here, when Carl Stokes was running for mayor of Cleveland, Dr. King decided that it was so, this would be the first black mayor of a major American city. And he wanted to give his time and his energy to making that happen. And so he engaged the churches. And the small number of us were asked if, representing the different churches, we would meet with him. And Dr. King, being who he was very straight. And he came in one day and he said, you know, I really don't, I've been to every black church in this town. And he said, you know what? I'm just getting a little tired of that. And he said, but I've never been invited to a single white church in the whole town. And I, being young, inexperienced, and eager, said, you can come to my church.
There we go.
I said, we have a preacher, Dr. Pennybacker. He's wonderful. He's always talking about racial justice. This would be, they would be thrilled. Guess what? They were not thrilled. I came back, went to my church. It's at Avalon and Van Aken, for those of you who live here. And announced with great pride that Dr. King had accepted my invitation to come to our church and to speak. Well, I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but suffice it to say that a number of the people, mostly rich ones, mostly the influential people, said, we're not ready for this, and this is not what we're intended to do. It just so happened that Dr. Pennybacker, our pastor, was on vacation. And so I still remember calling him on the phone and saying, guess who's coming to our church? And of course, knowing the people there, as I didn't in a way, he said, this is not going to go easy, but it'll be the bravest thing we've ever done.
Wow.
And so he said, I'll be back, but not right now. You go right ahead. And this is what we need. We need somebody who's not the pastor to say, isn't this what we've been taught? Isn't this what ought to happen? Well, it's a long story, a good story in the end, but a painful story. Probably 14 people left the church. Suffice it to say, they were the people with the most money and the most influence within the church. Not exclusively, there were some who stayed with us. But they came up with every reason you can think of as to why we shouldn't welcome him. They rearranged the furniture and took up the carpet and said, well, no, we can't have him now because it doesn't look good here. And it is almost unbelievable the number of reasons people came up with. But those were a few. And then there was the larger group who said, we're going to have Dr. King at our church. And some of the other folks said, well, if he's going to come, he's going to have to speak outside. He can't speak inside. Well, you know what happened? When he came to speak, there were thousands of people who gathered to hear him. 3,000 people. Had we have been inside that church, they never would have fit. And if we had pickets up and down, people carrying swastikas, all kinds of negative things. It was just about 2 years before Carl Stokes was to be elected the mayor of the city. And for me and my family, I ended up with a divorce. I was married to a person who was about to be a lawyer at Squire Sanders and Dempsey, one of our biggest law firms. in the city and it didn't fit with a career. I have more patience and understanding with that now than I did at the time. It's a long story, but it's a powerful story. And I remember when finally it was cleared and the Shaker police, it was a very dangerous thing. The Shaker police and the police from the city of Cleveland said to Dr. King, and Dr. King was like never on time. And so they said to him, you are going to be on time. We are bringing you to the border of Shaker Heights and the Cleveland police and the Shaker police are meeting you. And you've got to, you can't be diddle-daddling around. You got to be on time. So he said, yes, sir, I will be right there on time. And he was. 12 o'clock noon, he arrived. The police took him from the Cleveland police to the Shaker police, brought him into the church, and I met him at the door, and it changed my life. I can't do it. It totally changed my life. He was a remarkable man. I got to know him much, much better after that. He knew the chances that were taken by the people that wanted him there. But he stood on the back steps of that church, and hundreds of people heard him speak. They'd have never heard him if he'd have been inside. And the pastor of that church was given a terrible time for having allowed this to happen. But the fact is, 7 years later, when he left to go down to a much bigger church in Texas, there was a plaque that was given to him. And on that plaque, it says, during the ministry of Albert M. Pennypacker, Martin Luther King spoke in this church. And to this day, people that were there, they still go to the back door on the day in which he came. They remember that day to this day. It was life-changing in many ways. It was very upsetting of many, many things in my own life, but it gave me life in a way that I never, ever would have had. I never would have understood. And just to tell you the end of the story, it's even more not to be believed. That pastor and I walked this walk together. And about 5 years after that, he left and went to a different church in Texas, a bigger church, and carried on his ministry. About 5 years ago, my partner and his wife both died. And this August, on the 28th of August, Dr. Pennybacker and I are going to be married.
Oh.
It is
Dr.
a...
God, I'm not.
It doesn't get better than that. You mean, you know, I just wish Dr. King were here because he would have, you know, he would. I don't know what he would have had to say, but it would have been something probably that we couldn't be repeating at this point. But it was life changing, and then I will move and let you have a start here because the other thing that came as a result of this was the first and only woman mayor that Cleveland has ever had is my daughter.
That's right.
And so a lot of that came from Dr. King. There's just no question about it. I mean, and I can still remember her saying when we were on the west side of Cleveland and people threw stuff at us and everything, and she said, she was 10 years old, and she said, why would anybody in their right mind ever want to be mayor of this city if it's so mean? And I reminded her of that when she called me to tell me she was going to run for mayor. So to say that Dr. King had a role in my life is probably an understatement. But he also changed my life, and he gave me courage, and he made me know that I could take tough times. And people were tough. I mean, it was... For my grandchildren, it's hard for them to believe what it was like in those days. So that's the story.
Thank you for sharing.